Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization.
All right. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another great live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio. The Private Officer Beat, sponsored by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization. And right here at the top of the hour, we do want to welcome a new sponsor to the radio show, On Guard Insurance. On Guard Insurance provides that special insurance for security officers, private investigators, and alarm installers. Check them out today at www.onguardins.com. I'm sure they'll be able to help you just like they have helped us, On Guard Insurance. Good to have them aboard tonight. We do get requests quite frequently from different companies wanting to advertise on the web and on the radio show. We have tried through the years to keep the website uncluttered of advertisement, even though, unfortunately, it is a necessary evil these days when you're in business. You need that revenue, and we're always glad to welcome those types of businesses that fit in with the private security and public safety world, the world that we live in. So welcome, On Guard Protection. Glad that you are on board with us tonight. All right. It has been another busy weekend, and as you know, it's been a long, long weekend. And for those of you who had the luxury of having the weekend off, I wouldn't know what that feels like anymore. I hope that you enjoyed spending time with family and friends and just did some R&R because, time goes so quickly. And before you know it, you're going to wonder what happened. So it's always good to stop and relax and spend quality time with the family. But it has been a busy weekend and another busy week, month, and really, as I said last year, rest of the year coming up in front of us, just so much happening, a lot that we'll talk about today and over the next couple of weeks. And I don't know really where to start. There's so much going on. As always, also a lot in the news department. Some not so good, and some good. And oh yes, let me be the first to say happy early fall. That's right. We are in the month of September, and for those of you in New England, you're familiar with what's called the Indian summer. Some of you are experiencing that now. Indian summer, a couple of extra weeks of warm temperatures before it really begins to drop. Now, from what I understand and read in the Farmer's Almanac, and I predicted this earlier in the year, by the way, we're going to have a cool, wet, snowy winter, worse than we have in the last few years. And I predicted that, earlier this year. And, for those of you who live in the north, those of you who live in snow country, I hate to say it, but you might want to invest in a couple of more shovels or maybe a new snow blower. We'll have to see how this one plays out. We also have some news to tell you about coming up shortly about the private officer memorial and what's taking place with that. And we want to recognize some folks who have stepped up to the plate to help us to get this off the ground, whereas we thought for sure it was dead in the water, as we told you last week. Also, here at the top of the hour, we also want to mention that we're going to be listening to an interview that we pre-taped a few days ago with a true hero, a true brave soul in Florida, a security officer who was on duty the night that a large sinkhole opened up on a resort and gobbled the building, crushing it into pieces, literally turning it on its side. The security officer did not hesitate, but rushed into the damaged structure and began rescuing more than 30 people. We're going to be talking to him coming up in the next half hour. We really try to get the message out and the news to as many people as possible in our travels, in our communications, in our network, and networks beyond, and educate private security, the general public, law enforcement, the media, and anybody else who will listen, that private security officers across the country, and not just here in the U.S., but around the world, are true first responders, many brave souls put their own life on the line every single day, most of the time, for minimum wage. And we'll be talking in the upcoming weeks to several more true, brave heroes, people that you can point to and say they were as brave and heroic as any that I've seen. We have so many people working in the security industry from so many walks of life, working at so many different types of assignments, environments, properties, that there's just untold stories out there of things that they've been involved in. Last week, a security officer rescued a woman and helped her to give birth on a sidewalk. Last week, a security officer intervened in a shooting on a campus in Alabama where a woman was shot multiple times. Over the weekend, a security officer in New York risked his own life and went into a burning building. We also chronicled 1 month of private security officer involvement in armed confrontations and shootings. 1 month, the injuries and the deaths of private officers here in the U.S., and we didn't include them all. We only included the most horrific, the most volatile, the most violent. There were tens and hundreds of others that we could have included, but it would have made the addition ginormous. But let me read a couple of things. If you haven't seen this report that I wrote, if you're not on our mailing list, you should be. Contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer, and we'll get you on that email broadcast list so that you can get our breaking news, our important emails, our training event information distributed to you. But the month of August started with a security officer in Jacksonville, Florida, stopping at a McDonald's while on patrol to get breakfast and ending up dead in her vehicle before she could finish. She was on duty. Another security officer, hours later in Florida, involved in a shootout in an apartment complex. A security officer in Salinas, California, unarmed, patrolling a dollar store, intervenes when a suspicious man continues to walk in and out of the store. He is stabbed to death in front of customers and staff. He bleeds out on the floor of the store. Less than 24 hours later, gunshots ring out in Ohio, California, and Toledo. Security officers there involved in a ensuing gun battle, killing the suspect who had been shooting at patrons and security personnel. The same evening, shootings reported involving security officers in San Francisco and Las Vegas. Two security officers shot. A few days later, shootings in West Virginia, Nevada, Illinois, and Tennessee, where security officers on duty are shot at and return fire. A security team on duty at the Black Hawk Housing Development in Rockford, Illinois, walking patrol, come under heavy gunfire and have to shoot it out. They say it's nothing new. The same weekend, security officer in Wardoff, Maryland, stabbed. Armored car guards attacked in Charlotte, North Carolina, and a security officer shot in Detroit. 10 days into the month of August, a security officer working at the Albuquerque Walmart are called to break up a fight in the store. They separate men, but minutes later, shots ring out, and they find themselves in the midst of a homicide. Uninjured, they provide key evidence and information to police, who quickly arrest two murder suspects. 30 hours later, during a beautiful sunny day in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, hotel security officer casually walks through the parking lot of a resort when he sees an employee having lunch in the vehicle, confronted by a man. He goes to help to investigate, and the man turns on him and shoots. The employee is robbed, but neither are injured. Now, at the halfway mark of the month, things seem to quiet down, but only for a short time. A security officer on duty at a concert overdoses on a drug cocktail given to her in a sealed bottle of water containing a high concentration of GHB and LSD. Security officers rush to the hospital, but survives her attack. The weekend rolls around once again and starts off with a bang. A nightclub security officer in Lexington is shot when he tries to escort a man out of a strip club for touching employees inappropriately. A retail security agent is stabbed in Virginia, and gunshots ring out again in San Antonio when security officers confront a group of men at an apartment complex. An armed security officer patrolling an apartment complex in Miami is ambushed by a group of men who fire more than 24 rounds at him, striking him numerous times before he crashes into a building. The gang then pulls a security officer from the vehicle and shoots him again, steals his employee weapon and belongings, and leaves him to die. Just shortly before 6 a.m., several hours later, a security officer in Mobile stops to question a man who appears to be a vagrant and tells him don't loiter in the parking lot of a high-rise building. He goes to get coffee. He lets a vendor into the building and then goes back to check on the trespassing vagrant and is stabbed several times. 2 hours later, north of him, in Montgomery, Alabama, at the Christian University, Faulkner University public safety officers are finishing lunch when they're told of a shooting. They hear gunfire. They run out, weapon drawn. They yell at the man to drop his gun. He runs. They chase. They're able to subdue him, but a woman has been shot. 71 hours have passed when another security officer is brutally attacked, this time outside a store in Ohio. Left for dead on the sidewalk, he dies of severe head trauma. The same night, in the same state, a security officer contracted to patrol outside a Columbus, Ohio Walmart is confronted by an armed man, shot and carjacked, and left for dead in the parking lot. The security officer is rescued, the suspect arrested, and the officer is recovering today. Barely 24 hours after that shooting, and already another private security officer faces a gun. This time, it's an armed security officer in California sitting in his vehicle when two men, one armed with an AR-15, one with a semi-automatic handgun, drag him out of his vehicle and force him into a breezeway. They beat him, they try to steal his weapon, and they threaten to kill him. But the former Marine fights back and is able to shoot one of the men. While that sounds like it should be the end of it, it's not, because the night is young and it's the weekend again. And within hours, a nightclub security officer is attacked and stabbed by a man who won't leave quietly. The 43-year-old father of five fights for his life. With the help of customers, he's able to subdue the man until Hartford police arrive. The same night, in another state, a security officer at an oyster bar in Greensville, South Carolina, is attacked and stabbed when he confronts a man that they call a transient. The work week begins once more as we enter the third week of August. This time, a security officer on duty at the U.S. Department of Immigration and Naturalization in Louisville, Kentucky, finds himself fighting with a man who has thrown a trash can at a federal employee. They scuffle. They fight on the floor until the security officer eventually subdues and handcuffs the man, who now faces federal charges. The month is almost over, thank goodness, but attacks on security officers aren't. In Baltimore, Maryland, two security officers patrolling a parking lot of a lounge question several men who have no identification. The men who have been denied entry into the business go to their vehicle and return shooting. Two security officers this time are shot, one an off-duty campus police officer, the other an off-duty correction officer. The men escape into the night. Security officers working the same weekend late-night shift approach a woman in Houston. They say they saw marijuana in her vehicle in plain view. They ask her to step out of the vehicle. Instead, she guns the engine and tries running one of the officers over, and they open fire, shooting her. As the month winds down, G4S security on duty at a juvenile corrections facility in Avon Park, Florida, hear a rumble. They respond to what they believe is just kids fighting. What they find is themselves trapped, assaulted, and in the midst of an all-out riot. It takes more than 150 deputy sheriffs in riot gear to quell the disturbance and take the prisoners into custody. In the last 70 hours of the month of August, armored car security officers making a pickup in Houston are forced to use deadly force to protect themselves from an attacker. And along the coast of Connecticut, another security officer has used deadly force after being stabbed in the hand and neck. Moments later, a security officer in Detroit, Michigan, argues with a resident of an apartment and shoots and kills that man after being assaulted. And police in New Orleans say that a man, a disgruntled customer, refuses to leave a Bourbon Street restaurant. The security officer tries to escort the man out, but the man turns on him and stabs him in the chest and arms before fleeing. And up the street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, security officers working a routine quiet afternoon find themselves in the hunt for an armed bank robber. Police say security was notified the man was hiding inside the casino. Officers spread out and within minutes take the man into custody with no injuries. And 29 hours later, while a security officer questioned a group of men loitering at a Cleveland, Ohio apartment, he too is faced with a life and death moment when one of the men in the group pulled a handgun and pointed at the officer, who then must pull his weapon, shooting and killing the man. Barely 15 hours later, a loss prevention agent detaining a shoplifter in Salt Lake City, Utah, is slashed several times by the shoplifter. Numerous other armed confrontations, assaults, and security officers being victims were reported during the month of August. But these are the more heinous, the more serious. And the month of September? Well, it didn't start any better. A security officer working the overnight shift at a YMCA in White Plains, New York, was brutally attacked by a resident. Blood was found throughout the hotel, the YMCA lobby, the front office area, and police say that numerous residents report hearing the security officer screaming bloody murder for help. The suspected attacker then lit the building on fire and commit suicide. Police do not know why the man attacked. It has been a horrific month for security in August. And so far this year, 66 security officers have died in the line of duty. Please share this information. Get the message out. People need to know.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
All right, you are listening to the Private Officer Beat. You know, that chronicle that I just read to you, it sounds almost like something from a book, from a novel, from an action-packed movie. But it's reality. These are headline stories across the country. And like I said, we didn't even get into other events that had happened where security personnel was roughed up, assaulted, hundreds every month. We need to understand that if security officers are going to be placed in situations where they're going to have to respond to incidents and crimes in progress and have to address situations, that these type of events and incidents and assaults and deaths are going to become so frequent that I'm afraid they're going to become old hat, nothing new. Kind of like when we first went to war a few years back. Major headlines when troops were killed. But then as the war wore on, they weren't really headlines anymore. Security officers are being placed in not only high-risk areas, but in areas where they must confront, investigate, question, and detain. And they must have the training, the proper equipment, and the tools. But more than that, they must also have the ability to have communications. We're going to be talking, and we've done a show a couple of years ago called The Buddy System, or The Buddy Line, We're going to be talking in an upcoming show about how to be protected even if you don't have a dispatcher and you work alone. Very important that you have a buddy system, that your buddy calls you 3 or 4 times a night, and if they don't hear back from you, they call police. That way you're safe, and you do the same for them. But we'll talk more about that next week. While we're on the air, we always like for you to send us emails about the show or questions that you might have. Send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. You can also send it to us if we're off the air and you're listening on demand. Please feel free to send us your questions, your comments, or any information that you'd like for us to share with our listening audience, radio@privateofficer.com. And we also always tell you the best way to follow us 24/7. And yes, we do like for you to follow us. It's okay. We don't mind. The best way is to go to our main website at privateofficer.com. Right there, you can connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Those are our two main social media sites that we use. We also have our own forums, about 900 or so members. A lot of activity there, videos, pictures, and it's really the Facebook for security. Check that out as well. And you can stay really close to the news, stay on top of what's happening with POI just by following us on Twitter. You can get to all of those links at privateofficer.com, privateofficer.com. And also, I also want to tell you that we have a great new newsletter. And this newsletter is getting great reviews, rave reviews across the board, not only here, but abroad as well. It is, I'm telling you, it's looking better all the time. We're constantly tweaking it. We're looking at different things to add. We have a lot of video news. We've added some video training. We've got lots of news of interest that I think that you should check it out if you haven't, and definitely share it. You can, every email that we send out, you can share. Every news article, you can share. Every video, feel free, pass it around. Of course, there'll be a slight user charge applied, and we'll send you a bill. No, not really. Send it around, because right at the top of every email, it gives you that opportunity to share it on Facebook and LinkedIn and Gmail and so forth. Feel free. And, the newsletter is an excellent tool, and it also provides some free training, as does our forums. So invite your friends to join you on the forums, and definitely invite them to become members of Private Officer International. As I was saying at the top of the hour, we are going to be listening and talking to a young, fine gentleman who's a security officer at Summer Bay Resort in the Orlando area of Florida. And also we'll be talking to his supervisor about how he responded and had just a selfless act of courage. Richard Shanley is his name, when a building on their property collapsed due to a sinkhole. Also tonight, in the bottom half of our show, we'll be talking about, in part three, the uncharted waters, the employee. Now, in week one, we talked about the company, uncharted waters for them. Week two, we talked about the client and how they can't always, assume that we're going to be able to provide every type of service that they want. And this week, we're talking about you, the employee. Week three of the Uncharted Waters, the wrap-up, we call it. Last week, we had a great, great guest. If you missed that show, go back and listen. We talked to a security I guess he's not really security. He's a dog trainer who now trains dogs to do security work, both drug and weapon and also protection. And he is putting them in schools, not with security, not with law enforcement, but with administrators and teachers. And the dogs basically know what to do and do it. It was a very interesting show. Check it out if you missed it last week. Want to remind you also that September 15 through the 21st is the International Security Officer Memorial Week. September 15 through the 21st. Be sure that you wear a black band or piece of black tape across your shield if you are a uniformed officer. And pass this information around to your coworkers, your boss. Put it on your Facebook. Put it on your website. Put it on your Twitter. And pass the information around. It's the only way through grassroots efforts that we're going to be able to get this message out to the mass, to the people who need to hear it. But we've had a lot of great comments over the years about providing this International Security Officer Memorial. And each year, more companies and organizations participate. And in fact, in a moment, we're going to tell you about some of these participants coming up this year who's helping us out. But I want to make sure that you get the word out. If you don't tell your coworkers, if you don't share the information, then who will? We can only reach so many people in our newsletters and websites and radio shows and different networks that we have going. The way that it works is that you, through a grassroots effort, and I commend Mike Thornhill in Nashville all the time and a few others, they really get the message out strong. They're constantly working their LinkedIn, their Twitter, their Facebook, they're constantly posting. And, you know, I listened to a radio show over the weekend, and it was about a gun rights organization who is also in the grassroots stage of their organization and setting up chapters and, you know, recruiting members and so forth. And everything that she said during the interview is what we do. And everything that they're about to do, we've already done. We've already been there during the past 10 years. Unfortunately, we're not as advanced as I'd like to see. I wish that we were, you know, really huge. We are growing. But when you're a business owner, when you're an entrepreneur, you know, most people will tell you you just can't grow fast enough. We could grow 1,000 people a day, and I still would think that we need to grow faster, better, bigger, stronger, you know. That's just being an entrepreneur. But I listened to the radio show that, you know, she was saying everything that they were doing, and I was comparing it basically to what we do and what we've done. And it just takes a lot of grassroots effort by members, supporters, people who believe in what Private Officer International is doing. Because it's important. It really is important. So if you haven't put it out on your Facebook recently or ever, if you haven't put it out on Twitter, if you haven't shared it on LinkedIn, please, please do so. Especially the memorial, the Private Security Officer Memorial is something unique. There is no other organization or business or entity any place in the U.S. that does this. And you need to be supporting it. You need to. I also want to acknowledge, thank, and just praise the most recent folks who are helping to sponsor the 2013 Private Officer Memorial Ride. You know, without people, we can't do it. You understand that it takes gas. It takes money for hotels, food. It takes money to lease, rent, or purchase things that we need to put on the memorial service. My time and my staff don't, you know, we're not free. We do a lot of things free, but we need to be paid just like you would need to be paid. But I do want to recognize, and there's plenty of other folks that we will recognize on our website and on our radio shows later this month once we get the whole roundup and wrap-up of everyone involved. But over the next couple of weeks, this group here is supporting several of our locations, and I want to recognize John Driscoll Training, Lord's Hotel, United Bank, U.S. Bank, Cumberland University, Officer Debbie Brown with the Cleveland Clinic Police, Steve Hertz, Tennessee Trinity University, Albright Investigations, and Howard University. Really can't say enough about folks who step up to the plate when they understand, when they see a cause that is more than worthwhile. Like I said, you know, there's no other organization out there recognizing security officers like POI. Why wouldn't you want to support them? You're in the industry. Why wouldn't you want to give a couple of dollars? Why wouldn't you want to spend a couple of hours now and then getting the word out? My gosh, I don't understand folks sometimes.
Another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization.
All right, thanks for listening to the Private Officer Beat on this Monday evening. Glad you are with us. And we're happy to welcome a new sponsor to the radio program, On Guard Protection Insurance, for the security officer, private investigator, or alarm installer. Check them out today at www.onguardins.com. They will be more than happy to assist you with your insurance need, whether you're a startup, a security training school, a private investigation agency, just about anything. You know, check them out. They're a nice bunch of folks, and they are our new sponsor. Glad to have them on board. We have so much going on at POI and so much to offer the security industry as a whole that I don't understand, and I don't want to harp on this because it does no good to beat a dead horse, so they say. But you listen to the show. You become a member. You're part of the organization, part of the family. Why not tell your coworkers? Why not go across town and introduce yourself to another security company, a mall, the college? Spread some information around. We're more than happy to send you brochures, flyers. I'll even buy your business cards. If you need more information on how to do that, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we'll pay you. We pay for referrals. If you need more information, check out privateofficer.com. Okay, I was saying earlier before we went to the break, we really come across, more times than I can count, really courageous, brave people. And Richard Shanley, a security officer in the Orlando, Florida area, was on duty 2 or 3 weeks ago. You probably read about it. You probably heard about it. It was at a resort, the Summer Bay Resort. It's in the Kissimmee, Orlando area. When all of a sudden, the ground opened up and the building collapsed on its side, began to fall apart, literally. People were trapped inside. without reservation, without hesitation, he went up, climbed up into the building, and began to get people out of their hotel suite, resort suite, apartments. And we interviewed him, and this is what he and his management had to say.
I don't know who wants to speak or not. I'm Paul Caldwell, president and CEO of Summer Bay. You've got Juan Barillas, B-A-R-I-L-L-A-S, who's the executive vice president, and he oversees our operations. And then Richard Shanley, who is one of our security officers, who was right in the middle of this thing.
Excellent. All right. We're going to start off with some general information, and we'll start with the security officer. So, you there, Rich?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. So, as we all know, there was a situation, a tragedy, actually, that was averted just a few weeks ago in Central Florida where the unthinkable occurred. The ground opened up, and a building collapsed into the sinkhole. Most of you have read about this or heard about it somewhere along the way. It's been across the media for several weeks. And during that evening, the resort just so happened to have a security officer on duty, and Officer Rich Shanley was there. Rich, thanks for joining us on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Thank you.
Now, I'm sure that you weren't expecting anything like this to occur when you went into work that evening. What were you doing at the point that this situation occurred? Were you making general rounds? Were you sitting in a vehicle? Were you what were you doing?
I was actually making my rounds. I had just barely started work that evening, and as I drove by the building, I had a family that had flagged me down and said that they had a problem with the building. And I said, what kind of problem is it? And I heard glass breaking and people hollering and screaming. I wasn't sure what it was. And then I thought, you know, maybe we had a domestic disturbance going on or something like that. And about probably 5 to 10 seconds later, I heard a popping and cracking noise. And we had a breezeway that connected two buildings together. And as I looked down the breezeway, I could actually see the building collapsing at that time.
Now, up until that point, had you heard, I've been involved in law enforcement for 38 years. I'm also a firefighter and an EMT paramedic, and have been involved in a lot of tornado disasters, hurricanes. You know, you're in Florida. I'm sure that you're accustomed to, you know, torrential downpours, tornadoes, hurricanes, all sorts of weather situations. Had you heard anything up until this point? Had you heard, like, you know, they say that as a tornado begins to pass, you hear a train or a roaring noise. Had you heard the ground give way underneath you or anything at all?
No, sir. I didn't have any clue as to what was going on. It just came up all of a sudden. Nobody had any clue as to what it was or anything like that. It just, the ground started giving away and the building started coming down. There was no noise, nothing, just the shattering of the windows because the building was shifting.
Okay, and the gentlemen that are with us today, representing the company itself, tell us a little bit about your resort and the property itself. Is it bordered by any waterways, lakes, anything of that nature? And what type of property is this? Is it a flatland, a hilly area exactly? How large is it? And anything that you'd like to include on the landscape area?
Okay, we own 300.
Go ahead and tell us who you are first, so that listening to.
I'm sorry. I'm Paul Caldwell, the president and the CEO of Summer Bay Resorts. We're a vacation ownership resort, and this property in Orlando is located out west of Orlando at the intersection of U.S. 192 and 27, where we own 308 acres of relatively flat land. We are bordered by, on all corners by other land. There's about an 80-acre lake in the middle of our resort. which we use for, we have a beach there and other amenities and clubhouse. We have a total of about 900 units here on the property, and we lost, as a result of the sinkhole incident, we lost 24 of those units.
Now, had you had any inkling or any notice earlier that there was a geological problem or an occurrence? Had there been any tremors? I know in these situations sometimes there's something that we can put our finger on later on that would have alerted us that there was a problem under the ground. Had there been anything at all that you're aware of?
No, absolutely nothing. This building was has been at this location for about 14, 15 years. We did the usual customary testing of ground soils and our compactions at the time we built the building, which is a requirement for obtaining permits. But there's nothing that would have alerted us to the fact that Mother Nature had created an opening somewhere underneath this property, and over some period of time it caused this this weakness that resulted in this the sinkhole. So no warning. We of course had to do and had our geotechs come in, and they've done drilling all around this sinkhole, and then they went in and took actual core testings down to the limestone rock, about 100 feet of sands and clays, and have reported now that there are no voids or unusual soil types or characteristics, and we have no reason to believe or worry that there'll be another sinkhole open.
On a larger scale, and this is Juan Barillas, the executive vice president for Summer Bay Resorts. On a larger scale, I think it's important to point out that this area in Florida, even though Florida is used to these sinkhole events, they occur more actively in other areas different than ours.
A moment ago, last month, here in North Carolina, where we're based out of the Charlotte area, we had 24 days of rain. And during that time period, we've had a number of sinkholes, very large sinkholes opening, a number of road collapse and so forth. So had there been some inclement weather or heavy rain situation in the past few months there?
We had an unusually wet summer here in Orlando and in our area as well, of course. And in these sinkhole events, water is the trigger, like you are saying in your area. That's what actually creates the movement and the voids below the surface. And definitely it had an impact on the creation of this sinkhole in our property.
Yeah, the rain, when you have heavy rain, especially numerous days of it, it erodes the soil underneath the top surface, and it causes sinkholes. Rich, I want to go back to you for a moment if I can. So you're a lone security officer. You're on duty. You're accustomed to the general disorderly conduct or maybe a domestic now and then, and I'm sure that, at that hour of the morning, because I believe it was around 2 a.m. or so, wasn't it?
No, sir. It was 11 o'clock at night. I had just started working that evening.
Okay. So you got in, you came in on your normal shift and, pretty routine. And all of a sudden, you're thrust into this emergency crisis. Now, having been in this business for 38 years, I've seen a lot of different both private security and law enforcement involved in situations that they just didn't know what to do or how to respond. So here you are. You've been notified of something happening. You respond. You find some building movement and some windows popping. And I'm sure even at that point you don't realize what's going on. Did you realize that it was a sinkhole, that the building was collapsing, or what did you really think was going on? And then, you know, what was crossing through your mind to do next?
Well, I wasn't sure what it was. I had never experienced a sinkhole before. I've seen them on TV. I've seen the aftermath of them, but I never truly experienced one firsthand, so I wasn't really familiar with what it was. All I know is that the building started to collapse on itself, and instinct took over. I just started going through the buildings, getting people out of the rooms, and the safety of them was my first priority, to make sure that everybody got out of the building. And then once we got everybody out, I had other officers help me as well to make sure the guests were in, out of harm's way, because we had people trying to go back in the building to get their belongings. And they just, you know, did the best they could to try to control the situation, to basically crowd control. And the name of the gentleman that were with me is Dennis Bernanski and Jeff Norman. They played their parts really well, and they stood, you know, they stepped up to the plate and helped everybody in the situation that was unexpected. And, you know, you can't sit there and say, yeah, it was a one-man operation. It wasn't. I went in and got the people out, but they helped as well by keeping them away from the building, out of harm's way.
And when we get off the air, I would like to call you back and get that information as well. We'll be happy to recognize them as well. In your situation, why didn't you run the other way? Many people would have thought, you know, once they got up into the building and saw what was really happening, they would have said, you know, this is just too dangerous for me. I'm not paid enough to risk my life. Why didn't you just say, you know, turn tail and say, I'll call 911 and let them handle it? Why did you go into it further and start trying to rescue people and do what you've done?
Well, with training that I've had before is not only security, but as a volunteer fireman, we don't turn our back on it. We actually go into it to make sure that safety is the number one priority of the guest and of the building as much as we can, to make sure that everybody gets out with no injuries, no deaths. If I'd have walked away with that and not done anything, I don't think I could live with that on my conscience. I just let instinct take over and do what I had to do. Those guests meant more to me at that time, to get them out of the building and make sure that they were safe. I mean, they were here on vacation. They didn't expect this.
Were you injured at all, or?
No, sir. I wasn't injured at all, and neither were any of my guests.
Now, I'm curious to know, and anybody in the room can answer, if you train for emergencies such as tornadoes and weather-related incidents, especially being located where you are, do you practice any type of drills? Evacuation drills, and certainly when you're in this type of business, you know, customer service is priority, and customer safety is, you know, parallel with that. Did you have a plan in place as to what to do and where to take these people, and, you know, a call-out system and all of that? And if so, how important did that play into this all?
We do have planning operational manuals. I'll be very honest and tell you, you won't find the word sinkhole in any of them.
But an unusual event in most cases.
but we are in an area which from time to time has hurricanes, and that would be the closest thing I would equate to this thing. The biggest difference, of course, in a hurricane is we would have had everybody evacuated and moving to a safe kind of a location. A fire, generally, you're able to get people out. We have training, and we have people like Richard who make us very, very proud, and the other two officers. But this was just the beginning of the event for us. Richard and his partners vacated 105 people from that building. In an abundance of precaution that night, we vacated buildings in the surrounding area. So all total, We probably evacuated
between 300 and 350 guests.
So yeah, you actually beat me to the punch, because that was going to be my next follow-up question was, did it cause you a alarm enough to vacate and evacuate other buildings, and was it recommended or instructed by either emergency personnel or officials? So you kind of answered that.
Yeah. We, not knowing what this sinkhole meant, if it would grow, sure. And so now we've got 300 people in the street, or we run a hotel as part of this resort right next, which is next to this property. And so after you ascertain everyone's hurt, all your team members are safe and your guests are safe. And by the way, Richard and his team did a great job of, and our night auditors did a great job of getting a manifest with everybody in the buildings to the fire department and the Lake County Fire Rescue people. And so it was pretty seamless and quickly that we were able to determine everybody's safe. Then we turned to our team who's been trained, and how are we meeting the needs of these people? And there's so many stories. We could be on your show for a week about how people took people to Walmart in the middle of the night to buy diapers for their baby. Because these folks, when they left, they left. They had cars parked with no keys. So we had to address all of those kinds of things, and we had several of our departments, night auditors, the hotel, reservations.
Food and beverage.
Moving these folks to other units. Fortunately, we were able to house probably 90% of all the people affected in other units at our resort. Then we had to worry about, they didn't have any cash. We had to set up kind of a system to start meeting with them and dispersing cash. They had no identification. Writing them a check didn't do them any good. So we had to wait till the bank opened that morning and went and get cash and then start working with them. And just meeting their needs. But the fact, I'd attribute most of our response, other than the right thing to do. We've always preached here, we got to do the right thing every day. And people like Richard and so many of our people, as I said, just stepped up and let their sense of right and wrong take over. And they understood without me telling them that if we had to do something, if we had to spend money, whatever it was, we had to do it, and then we'd ask questions later about
right.
Who was going to pay for it or how it got charged. And I'm really, 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 if you can't tell it, proud of our team and that they had the confidence to go do the right thing.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that in an emergency situation, whether it be a fire, a natural disaster, when you're a property owner, a business person, or a management company, the emergency continues after the fire has been put out, after the storm has passed. In fact, that's when the real work begins. And, during a natural disaster, it's hours and days before you can get people back sheltered, back into a situation, not back to where they were before the emergency, but at least somewhat, situated and comfortable. And I'm sure that your team had many hours of no sleep and a lot of work in front of them. And it sounds like you guys all worked well together and got the job done. And I'm sure that your customers there were more than satisfied. The type of resort that you have is a timeshare. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the right thing to do. It's good business sense. As humans, most of us anyways, want to do the right thing. We want to help people in need. And it sounds like everyone from the security team to housekeeping to food and beverage to front office management all responded as they should and worked out well. Rich, I want to go back to you for a couple of moments. Now, being also a chaplain, I talked to many emergency responders, including private security, who later, after everything is over with, a few days or a week later, it really hits at that point what happened and what they were involved in and what could have happened to them. Have you had any of those moments when you said, my gosh, I could have been killed, or, had time to really think about what happened and what you were in the middle of, and or any type of post-traumatic stress type thing?
Well, every now and then I find myself not being able to sleep at night. I'll lay in bed and I'll sit there and wake up and think about this and run through it in my mind over and over and over again. And I know that's common, but it's, you know, one of those things that you look at it and you're like, man, what could I have done different? And I don't think there was anything different that could have been done. It just got the people out, but you wake up in the middle of the night from a dead sleep looking at it and realizing you were in the middle of it. And from that week that happened until now, I haven't had much sleep. I think I've gotten like 24 hours of sleep since that time. But I wouldn't have changed anything that I had done, and I would hope that the rest of my team and everybody that was involved wouldn't have changed anything either. We still had to, you know, do business as usual. We have a resort to run. Our team has, security. We have to make sure of the safety of everybody on this property. So I don't think I'd go back and change any of that, but it's just the fact of thinking about it over and over. I know it's something that'll go away in time, but right now it's just a matter of you think about it day after day after day, and just looking back, thank God that everybody got out alive and no injuries.
Yeah, I can make one quick comment. Your line of questioning is so refreshing to me because that morning Richard shared with me as we began visiting about where we were and what happened and how it happened. He shared to me something that the press here, and we had our more than share of press, but nobody seemed to want to pick up on or follow up on it anyway. But Richard, if I'm wrong, tell me. But I mean, my recollection is you told me you thought there was a higher power, somebody was guiding you to do what you did, and you felt very strongly about that.
Yes, sir.
And I do too.
God was with me, and he put me in that place for a reason. He knew that if anybody had to do it or was to be in that situation, he put me there for a reason. And I thank God every day that everybody got out, and I can't say enough. You know, just the fact that there was a reason I was there, and everybody got out, and without the help of everybody in the resort itself, I don't know what would have happened.
And I agree. Unfortunately, the media does not really have the sensitivity when they're dealing with emergency service personnel. And unfortunately, many general public, emergency services, and the media alike do not recognize private security as being the first responder that they are and have become over the last 20 years. In your situation, the media is not concerned about how you feel. They're not even concerned if whether or not you are injured, because that's not their story. Their story is that a building has collapsed, a sinkhole has opened up, and they have a bigger story to tell. And that's unfortunate, because I've been involved in shooting situations both as law enforcement and as a responder, and I was never asked one time, how do you feel? Have you talked to someone? Do you need to talk to someone? All that the media cares about is the bigger picture, the bigger story, and they're not there to collect information about your feelings or your needs, and that's unfortunate. I do want to give you, if somebody has a pen, this is Safe Call Now, and they are a public safety confidential source, free counseling service to public safety officers, and this is one of our associating companies. It is free. There's no charge. Their phone number is area code 206-459-3020. Again, that's area code 206-459-3020. They're manned 24 hours a day. They will connect you with someone locally in Orlando area. So if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you don't know why something happened, or you just need to speak with someone, please feel free to call them, because they understand everyone who answers that phone is a public safety officer, a police officer, a firefighter. And we also have a chaplain network, which I will connect you with in Florida when we get off the phone. And, you know, feel free to use them as a resource free of charge.
Well, thank you. That sounds like a great resource.
I really appreciate the fact that, you know, you as an individual, Rich, and the company did the right thing. You saw the urgency. You didn't second-guess yourself, and you did what you had to do. What most people don't realize is that in the U.S., security officers are the first responder, and, in fact, more security officers are injured on the job than law enforcement nationwide. And, in fact, 128 security officers were killed last year in the line of duty. We are, as a Security Law Enforcement Association, seeing the many different tasks that private security is given, much different than they were 20 or 30 years ago when they guarded a gatehouse someplace. And basically, when a security officer at a resort such as yours is on duty, anything could happen and anything could be thrown at them, and you really have to be ready at all times, whether it be a medical emergency, a natural disaster, a shooting, a fight, you never know. And it sounds like you were well prepared, and especially with a fire service background, I'm sure that helped you somewhat.
Yes, sir, it does. And, you know, being that you're a security guard doesn't mean that you're above the law. You just have to be able to live by the law.
You're there to protect and to, you know, service the customer, the client, and to enforce the rules and the laws. And it's much different today than it was 20 years ago, but it sounds like you have a good head on your shoulder, and the resort's really lucky to have you as an employee.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, do you have anything else that you'd like to add before we end the interview?
Thank you for your interest. We second your comment. We're lucky to have Richard and our staff and our people. Thank you for your interest.
You're welcome, and we'll be in touch, and we'll get the name of the other two officers as well so that we can recognize them. And please let us know if we can help you, and Rich, definitely put those resources to use if you need somebody to talk with, because they know exactly what you're going through and what you're feeling at any particular time, because they've all been there. Well,
thank you again
for calling in, and again, stay in touch with us if we can do anything for you.
Thank you.
All right.
Listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization.
All right, thank you for being with us here on the Private Officer Beat, and as we mentioned at the top of the hour, glad to have our new sponsor with us on board, On Guard Insurance Protection. Check them out at www.onguardins.com. Providing insurance for the security industry, the security professional, private investigators and alarm installers. They will do you a good job, I'm sure. Check out their website today. Security officers, often overlooked, often, you know, the stigma just won't go away. But in situations like you just heard, it's the security officer on the front line. It's the security officer being the first responder. Here in the second hour, we're talking about uncharted waters. We can say it over and over again. The security industry as a whole is changing. There's no question, no doubt, no quibbling. We know without a shadow of a doubt that it's nothing like it was 30 years ago. The staffing service mentality must go. Quantity versus quality must go. The I don't care who we hire must go. This week in the wrap-up of Uncharted Waters, we're talking about you specifically, the employee. Everything that has to do with an employee of a private security, a private patrol agency, has to be redefined. A former law enforcement officer who's now a professor told me that security is in an evolution like law enforcement was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, police officers were hired off the street, given a badge and a gun, a nightstick, and kicked out on the road on a walking beat and told to do the best they could. They recruited big men. And where I'm from, up in New England, many were those big, strong Irishmen, because they knew they could handle themselves. But we're in an evolution like law enforcement. They had to go through the same process of understanding that they had to go through a better recruitment process, a better training progress, a better recognition, had to redefine themselves, remake themselves over, because what they had wasn't good enough. It wasn't doing the job. It wasn't getting the job done. It wasn't what it should be, and that's where we are today in security. Employees, we must recruit better, understanding that one size does not fit all. I understand all about how we need 20 security officers today because we just got a new contract that we've got to start tonight. I've been there in the office where they said hire the first 20 people that walk through that door. I don't care about their background. I don't care what they look like. I don't care that they don't have a car. Hire them. I've been there. But in order to have a quality service, you must start with a quality person. And our recruitment process has to be different. And we must match our employee with the assignment. I know we shuffle people around from one place to the other, and they don't know if they're coming and going, and neither do you. I've been there. I've done it. I know. But now we're getting into a day and age where clients want specific people permanently. They want specifically qualified persons specific to their type of environment, their type of property. So one size doesn't fit all, and we have to understand that the recruitment process, we must match the employee with the assignment. We must increase training. We must require it of ourselves, even when the state doesn't require anything. When it's not a licensed state, we must require it of ourselves. It's the right thing to do. It protects you in a liability situation. It protects the officer when they're alone at 3 in the morning. And more than that, it makes you a professional agency. Now, I know this week is all about the employee, so let's talk about you, the employee. You have to understand that in order to see the right and just compensation, in order for you to be recognized as a true professional, in order for you to receive the benefits and all the gravy that should come with your position, three things have to happen. The client must be educated and must understand that we're not providing bodies, we're providing professionals. You called because you have a security issue. We're here to take care of that problem. We, the employee, must do our part to train, to seek out training, to dress the part, to act the part, to be the part, to do more, go above and beyond, just like this security officer in Florida. He didn't second guess himself when he heard the building collapsing, a sinkhole opening up, and 100-plus people needing to be rescued. He didn't say, oh, forget it, I'm calling 911, the heck with them. I'm not a fireman. I'm not a policeman. I'm not here to rescue people. I'm a guard. He could have done that, but he didn't. Because to be a true professional, you must be willing to go the extra mile at all times. You must do above and beyond not only what's required, but above and beyond what's expected. You must do more. Try harder. And that's what this security officer, Richard Shanley, did. He saw the emergency unfolding in front of him. He saw people needing help, and he was willing to put his life on the line. He could have been killed. He could have been injured at the least, at the very least. But he threw caution to the wind and went anyways. And he doesn't stand alone. There are dozens, hundreds of cases every year where we see security officers confronting people, shootouts, rescuing people, helping people, going into buildings, burning buildings. We see it firsthand. We read about it. We hear about it. That's one of the great things about 600, 800 news sites that we monitor every day. Most of the time, we're going to catch it. We're going to see it. That's how we found out about Richard Shanley. Our news department picked it up the moment it happened, within hours. We knew about the building collapse. We knew about the sinkhole. And shortly thereafter, we heard somebody was involved in rescuing people. Well, guess what? I knew it probably wasn't the maintenance man. I knew it probably wasn't someone off the street. I figured it had to be security on site. I understand that as an employee making barely minimum wage, you don't care what you look like. You're not going to put forth much effort. You're sure the heck not going to show up for any unmandated, unrequired training. And that's fine. That's all well and good. That's up to you. But if you want to get more out of your job, out of your profession, if you want to be looked at and respected as a professional, if you want to make a career out of it, then you got to go that extra mile. You got to do above and beyond, even if it means no sleep, no pay. A couple of years ago, I interviewed a young man who had worked in security. He was from another country. He worked 2.5 full-time jobs. He worked 2 full-time jobs and another job at the school and went to college full-time to get his master's degree. And he was praised by his company, the security agency he worked for, and the other company, the hotel that he worked for. And they praised him because he always was on time. He was always spotless, clean, groomed, professional. He could have slept on the job. He could have slacked off. But no, sir. He was dedicated. He was loyal. He was professional. He said in the interview, I knew the job. I knew what it entailed. I knew what was expected of me. I knew the hours, the pay. I said, yes. Yes, give it to me. I will take it. And I will do my best every day that I'm there. And he did. If you want to get someplace, sometimes you got to go through the long way. Sometimes you got to go through the hard way. Sometimes you got to be willing to go without that sleep, to go without that praise, to go without the money that you deserve, because it's part of the journey. It's part of the trip. I'm telling you, you can mark my words, as my pop used to say. I'm telling you now that in a very short time, we're talking about a few years at the most, the security industry is going to be tossed on its head. Salaries are already rising. Security managers and directors make six figures. Supervisors make 50 grand, 75. I can show you dozens of ads right now on specific websites looking for people with experience, with education, with training to be trainers, security managers, directors of hotel security, so on and so forth. You can own your own business. You can become a private police officer in 26 states. There's all sorts of things you can do. And with that comes the money, comes the benefits. But you got to be willing to do more. Try harder. Take the training. Go the extra mile. Be the professional even when it doesn't seem like anybody cares, anybody recognizes you, anyone rewards you. The reward is that you're being ethical. You're being a professional. You're doing the right thing for the right reason. I know that doesn't pay the bill. I know it doesn't pay the bill. I know that the rent still needs to be paid, the car payment, the insurance. Still got to buy diapers for the kids and all of that. I understand. But you chose the security profession as your job. Now do the right thing. But if you want it to be more than just a job, if you want it to be a career, if you want to make some real money, then as the employee, you must do certain steps. Too many people want to get to the high point without starting at the bottom. Too many people want to be in charge. You know, there's an old saying, all chiefs and no Indians. Richard Shanley never thought, well, I guess if I go up there and maybe escort the little old woman down to the driveway to the parking lot, I might get a big award. I might get a raise. Heck, I might even be on the news. He didn't think that. He saw the urgency, the need, the emergency, and he went for it. He did the right thing. He didn't say, well, I only make $8 an hour over here. Heck, I ain't going up in there. I'll let the firemen do that. Security officers all through the month of August that we chronicled for you earlier in the show. Confrontation after confrontation. Stabbings, shootings, gunfire, gun battles. Part of the job, part of the risk. Be willing to be prepared to be that first responder. too many people want to wear the uniform and the gun belt and the shiny badge and think they're somebody. Without really being qualified, without really taking the training. Oh, I've taken training. I've done that 16 hours that they told me I had to do to get my guard card, and I'm all set. No, you're not all set. You're not prepared. You're not ready. God forbid you get into a confrontation. We're in uncharted water. Security officers are being assigned to patrol cities and towns, respond to calls, barking dogs, suspicious persons. Patrol agencies are patrolling communities and private properties all across the country, interacting with the public, questioning, detaining, investigating. Yeah? Yep, nothing wrong with that. No, there's nothing wrong with that, but you got to be prepared. You got to be trained. As an employee, do the right thing. I mentioned the word ethics a moment ago. Be ethical. If your employer tells you to go escort a drug dealer, go drive around a hooker, a prostitute, pick up some money at a business that looks shady, and it doesn't feel right to you, it doesn't look right to you, it doesn't smell right to you, and something in the pit of your stomach tells you it's wrong, then don't do it. I might get fired. So what? I'd rather be fired than arrested, than have my name ruined. Be ethical. Part of being a professional is knowing right from wrong. We're in uncharted waters. It's a new day in the security industry. Trust me when I tell you, I see it every day across the country and around the world. Every day we see news articles coming from so many countries that are experiencing the same issues as we have in the U.S. And as we try to navigate these uncharted waters, we must do it the right way. Ethical, honest, professional, trained, prepared, ready, willing to do what it takes. The leaders are the people who get promoted. Those willing to go that extra mile to do the right thing, to take the training. I worked with someone like that years ago. Took all the training that was available to him because he knew one day it would all come back and be used. Uncharted waters. Thanks for being with us tonight here on the Private Officer Beat. Until we see you next time here on the radio, be safe, be blessed, and be sure to tell somebody about Private Officer International and the Security Officer Memorial.